Let me begin by saying the most encouraging thing in being a child of God is the fact that God sees everything we go through. He sees our sufferings and oppressions and everything that is associated with it. So he knows exactly what we are going through in this life. He sees when we are fully trusting him. He sees that. Also, he sees when we are willfully disobeying him. He sees that as well. And also, when we are overpowered by the enemy, he sees all these things. So when the evil one is just really working very hard against us, in all situations, he sees. More than that, no one can help us to come out from all these things, because sometimes we assess things, we can just stop there. Like, we can diagnose a problem, but we may not be able to solve it. You see, but God, when he sees all these things, he has the power, you see, to overturn all these situations. Whether when we are lacking faith, we can ask for more faith. Because, so when you are beaten a lot, and so you can simply give up, and then to give up is to distrust God that he will bring you out of that. And so that is possible as well. And so, or when we are tempted, you see, like, to disobey him, if we repent also we can be brought back. And so with Satan, he has the power to overcome Satan, our God. So there is no situation as his children where we can find ourselves where God cannot overturn the situation. Because as you have heard me in the past week before, that the kings has certain themes. And let me repeat these three things I said. The sovereignty and the exclusiveness of Yahweh, and rejection of idolatry. So this is part of his program. That this is part of the covenant he has made. You see, in the past and to the present, and to the present and to the future, that is his character. That is what he will be doing. Secondly, so as he chose in the past Jerusalem to be the place of worship for his own people, today Jesus said in John chapter 4 that people will not worship not in Jerusalem or in Samaria and anywhere, you see, but the true worshipers will worship in truth and in spirit, where, everywhere, and even in Clayton tonight, isn't it? So this is the new covenant, and so we are in the plans of God even right now. So this is one of the things. Covenant as the basis of Israel's relationship to God and a standard for nation life. So covenant as the basis of Israel's relationship. And so this chapter that we are looking at tonight reveals that clearly, this last point, the covenant. And that is why I say that. So let us come and see a few verses from 23 to 29, but I will be focusing only on 26 and 27, these two verses. And so these verses, they talk about the reign of Jeroboam II. In the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. You see, I mentioned in the past also that the two kingdoms, they go together. Even if the text is going to focus on the northern kingdom, he will mention the southern kingdom, because the Lord treat them like really equally. And also at the same time, simultaneously, you see. So, and even he can raise up the king in the north to punish the king in the south, or the other way around as well. So here we are told this man reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, is spoken through his his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. So here is we are told of his military victories that brought significant stability to the kingdom and the northern kingdom especially, and so that was a territorial expansion, you see. And some of the commentators, they said actually that was equivalent to the expansion that David had, even Solomon also. So that was a significant, really, victory, because for you who know the map very well, it's just near the Jordan side. You see, from all up to the Dead Sea. So that whole area that was taken by the Assyrians, you see, he restored that fully and became part of the kingdom of Israel. And we know the land was given to them by God. And to have those territories, that means that all the blessing that God has commanded, really, because there might be oil there in our modern days, there's gas, there will be prosperity. You see, like our nation in which we live today, we have resources that we are the envy of the world. You see, so that was very important. And also that means they have a grip on power, the king, and also to fight their enemies. And so in many ways, so there is security and peace for God's people at that time. So it's something so important. Even though he did evil, but because God is sovereign and God who is in covenant with his own people, he will do that. He will do something. He will give them that victory. Even though this man, he was not fully a man of God. And so let us focus and to see the reason why really they are given that victory. And so we are told here the Lord had seen in verse 26. The Lord had seen how bitterly everyone in Israel. Now, bitterly, that's the word they use for Mara and Elim, isn't it? Bitterness. So they were really crushed. They were by their enemies. They were defeated most of the times, and also they were punished by God because they were given up to their enemies. But here we are told God had seen how. It's not because they did anything good, but they came under the judgment of God himself by opening them up to their enemies. And so now we are told also that whether slaves or free, so how bitterly everyone, every single one, was really struggling. Every single one. Have you come to across a group of people who will have like really together going through oppression? You see, it's happened most of the times in the in tribal areas. You find a clan facing some trouble. Really, they may be defeated from their land, removed completely by their enemies, and their crops confiscated, and their cattle taken. You see, they are robbed of their livelihood, and you see. So here we are told everyone was struggling, and that was really too much for God's people to bear. And then not only that, they say everyone is slave or free. Because anyone who has come into the contact with the God of Israel, anyone that associates themselves with God's blessings, and we could see, because these slaves, they were slaves of God's people, isn't it? And they were living among God's people. Even God has regard for them. You see, let alone even the people who were just like doing very well. Now everyone is struggling. And God, as God who sees not only the needs of believers, even he sees the needs of people who are not believers. So God sees that. He sees everything. And now we are told that, especially in relation to Israel, why God would just save them and help them, because he saw this, but also he has an obligation to save them and to help them. You see, this is amazing. God himself has the obligation to do this because He has made a promise. That is what the verse 27 says. And since the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heavens. You see, God has not said that. He didn't say, yes, he punished them, and they encountered losses in numbers. They were killed. They were taken to exiles. But God never said that he would blot out the name of Israel. You see, and so you can have also joy, the fact that God didn't say in the scriptures, even in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say that he will abandon us. He said, I will not leave you, not forsake you. He says this. You see, not because you did it, you are doing always the right things, but because you have come to him and acknowledge him to be your Lord and Savior. And you call yourself a Christian, you see, and you recognize his rule and his reign on your lives. And you conduct your life in the light of his word. And as a believer, as a child of God, the one who is going to inherit the kingdom with Jesus and rule and reign with him in power. So exactly this is what God is doing here. God didn't say anywhere that he would just give up his own people. And we see this is running. He said in the Septuagint, we see that Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 36. The Lord will judge his people. Yes, he will judge his people by opening them up to their enemy, but at the same time, and have compassion on his servants. When he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. See, God has made this clearly. Anyone who will be in his territory, in his kingdom, because the kingdom of Israel was virtually the kingdom of God, isn't it, here on earth. And God himself was to be their king. Even we heard this morning, the tabernacle, God was visiting the tabernacle and would come powerfully there to show Israel that he is with them. So see the comfort that is there in the presence of God with his own people. And he made this promise long. Then now a lot of years have gone by, isn't it? Hundreds of years so far. And yet these words of God stand forever, that he will have compassion on them when he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. See, so this is the comfort we should have. And so here in the reign of this King Jeroboam, God is committed to saving them, because he did not say, look, pay close attention to the word, because the Lord had not said. You see, so anything that he didn't say will not take place. You see, so anything that he didn't say will not take place in your life. And so when we speak unbelief to ourselves, that especially like, I will die young. The Lord didn't say you will die young. So he will say, we will be full of years, you see, as righteous. That is a promise, and we are to hold to these promises of God. He says he will use us. He says, I will not leave you, not forsake you. You see, so he had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heavens. He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash, who is described that he did evil in the sight of God. You see, and so what is at work here is the grace of God, is the mercy of God, and his faithfulness to his word in the past. And so we can apply this in our lives also. Our God is faithful, and he will be with us. All that we need to do is because we have the full revelation now. So we have the full revelation. These people, they didn't have that. They were looking to Jesus. You see, and they believed and they greeted the prophet. They said, and the Bible said, the prophet saw the times of Jesus, and they greeted it from afar, but they didn't enter to that. But we are on this side. So what we have here is we have to be thankful that we have a God who is with us, is a God who will not treat us according to our sins. He will treat us according to his compassion and his mercy, because he is committed to the covenant he has made, and the covenant we have is the covenant that was cut on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is a final covenant that the Bible speaks of as the greater and better than the old covenant. You see, because the new covenant is based on the righteousness of Christ himself, based on his ministry, his work, his finished work, and it was huge. You see, that God should give up his only son for us so that we will come under his wing. And so whether we are a slave or free, you know, because we in the USA, there were slavery, isn't it? There were slaves who were Christians, isn't it? So whether they were a slave or were free, then they still were receiving God's blessings and protections because they have come into the covenant, they have come under his wing. So what an encouraging thing to see how God is working out his redeeming plans, his redemptions, you see, through history. And so how much more with us today who have the name that is above all other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We can turn to him at any time and pray and resist Satan and he will flee from us. And we can ask anything in faith, by faith, in his name, and he will be granted. We will be granted that request. And so we can trust God. And so God sees everything. And when he sees everything, so he will move. And let me draw your attention to this word also. So the Lord has seen how bitterly everyone in Israel, whether a slave or free, was suffering. There was no one to help them. So this is one thing. You see, there is no one to help. Even in our day to day, you can testify to that. You can go through a lot of things and no one to help. You see, how many of the things we are battling with and no one to help? Maybe not because people don't want to help, but they cannot. You see, they cannot. They are not able to do that. You see, just like the Israelites, when they were defeated, their enemies were stronger than them. You see, but God enabled them through his grace to do that. And here we are told there was no one to help them. It's only their God. And God has brought us into a position where there is no one to help us. And one application we can take from this point is the fact that whenever we see ourselves in trouble or anything, let us not think about anything else or anyone else. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus because he is our only helper and he can help us through these things. Let us pray.